It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A message from the Crawford, Texas Chamber of Commerce. If you've packed up and left, headed east, headed west, to seek fortune and fame in a much bigger game, we'll still welcome you back. Yes, you're on the right track. If you feel most alive on Farm Road 185, yes, if you're idolized, won a Pulitzer Prize and a Nobel or two, we're still waiting for you. Yes, if you're a big star in NASA or NASCAR, politics or the arts, come on back to these parts. Wouldn't you love a chance to kick back at the ranch with some regular folks, with some pretzels and coke for a full year or two? No one bothering you, doing just what you please. No jet flights overseas. If you put in your turn as the head of a firm like FedEx or Fannie Mae, U.S. Steel or the USA, leave the media glare. Getting treated unfair, you and God will be one. Meet the hot Texas sun. The empire's falling, but the Crawford is calling.
Let's go to Crawford, Texas right now, where Cindy Sheehan joins us from Camp Casey, the Easter edition. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's Peter B. Collins out on the West Coast.
Hi, Peter.
And Brad Friedman has joined us from Los Angeles, too.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Cindy. How are you doing down there?
I'm doing okay. Where are you? How come you're not here?
I'm in Los Angeles. I can't get there all the time as easy as I could, but maybe I'll join you this summer if you decide to take another road trip.
We are. We're going to, for sure, definitely.
Oh,
unless
brother.
George Bush is gone and the troops are home.
Well, that would be, it would be delightful if you don't have to have a vigil this August in Crawford. But,
that will be very delightful.
Cindy, tell us about the events of the day. I understand that 14 of your colleagues have been detained.
Right. On Thanksgiving, 12 of them were arrested, and the DA still hasn't filed charges or either dropped the charges, and that's what we requested. They either file them or drop them. So they went back in the ditch today, and 14 of them got arrested this time.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the rules, because I understand that since November, McClellan County has tried to change its rules without officially amending the law.
Well, since August, they made camping and parking along the roads here and along Prairie Chapel Road and the roads by the Bush Ranch. They've made that against the law. And we feel it is unconstitutional because, you know, obviously they're trying to, you know, suppress our First Amendment rights, a peaceably assemble, and for our freedom of speech. So we wanted our day in court. We want to go to court. We want to test the laws, but the DA won't file the charges from November.
Now, Cindy, are you disappointed that the president changed his plans? Every year since he was installed in the White House, he has spent Easter in Crawford.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
This year, he's going to Camp David. Is that so he can be nearby for the Easter egg roll with all of the gay and lesbian parent families?
I'm not disappointed. I just know that he didn't come to Crawford because we were here and we make him uncomfortable. He doesn't like to see people who disagree with him. He surrounds himself with sycophantic yes people. And to, you know, have somebody, you know, surrounding him that disagrees with him, he doesn't like to face it. And he didn't come because of us. And you know what? I bet you, and I think Brad will back me up, we're having a way better Easter than he is.
Brad, your turn.
Well, a couple of quick questions. First, I'm wondering what the McClellan County District Attorney has said in reply to the fact that they have arrested these folks last Thanksgiving and have still filed no charges. I'll answer the next one.
Yeah, our lawyer has sent him three letters, and he has not responded. We had a protest at the McClellan County Courthouse yesterday, and the DA was not there, and they wouldn't respond to us then. So we have no response from him. That's why they went to get arrested again today.
And you and Ann Wright chose not to get arrested somehow today. Is that correct?
Well, Aaron needs to stay here to run the camp. We have, like, we have hundreds of people here already, so we needed Aaron here at camp. But I decided not to get arrested for just a very personal reason. My oldest daughter is coming in tomorrow, early tomorrow morning, and I want to spend the whole day with her and Sunday with her, and I didn't want to be in jail while she was here. So they said we might have to stay until Monday, which I wouldn't object to, but I wanted to spend time with my daughter, so that's why I didn't get arrested this time.
I can imagine it's getting exhausted being thrown in jail these days. Cindy, have you thought about now that Bush is apparently taking what seem to be unscripted questions, have you thought about going to any of his events and asking him the question that you wanted to ask him last August at any of these open events?
Yes, I have thought about that, and I would definitely like to get in. I somehow have a feeling I wouldn't get into one of his events, though.
I can't imagine why. Oh, and by the way,
look, I tried to get into the State of the Union, and I was there for 30 seconds, and they dragged me out and arrested me. So.
Yes, I know. You gave me a very late night covering you on that, Cindy. And correcting what the mainstream media had gotten wrong about you unfurling a banner and doing any other number of things.
Yeah, when which was everything the mainstream media got wrong.
Exactly. And, in fact, of course, you were just wearing a T-shirt that apparently they had problems with. And speaking of which, since David Swanson over at AfterDowningStreet.org helped put me in touch with you today, he said I should ask you what you're wearing right now.
I have a shirt that has Will Ferrell on it from Saturday Night Live, and it says More Cowbells.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll be disappointed because I think he thought you had an Impeach Bush shirt on.
I did earlier, but it was long sleeve. I took it off, and now I have More Cowbell on. We're in cow country here, so it's appropriate.
And if our listeners want to get up-to-the-minute information on Camp Casey, the website I would direct you to is truthout.org. Scott Galindez posted already today on Friday. Are there any other bloggers or webheads that are there covering the events, Cindy?
No, I think it's just truthout.org or CrawfordPeacehouse.org that
okay.
You can get the info. I haven't even had a chance to blog myself yet from here, but I'm probably going to do one tonight. And, you know, it'll be posted around the usual sites, Truth Out, Common Dreams, Daily Kos.
I will add that I just heard from Leon.
Buzzflash.
Yeah, I will add that I just heard from Leon Smith from the Lone Star Iconoclast, and that
uh-huh.
They are working on a piece, and they've got some fresh pictures, I guess, of the arrests, and those should be posted soon at LoneStarIcon.com.
All right, Cindy. We're going to try to tax our phone system a little here. We have John in Orlando, Florida, who'd like to say hello. John, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman and Cindy Sheehan.
How you doing?
You're on the party line. Go right ahead.
I was just wondering if they have made any progress on exposing the AC.
Exposing? Say that again, John.
I was wondering if they.
There's some noise there in the background, so just go ahead and blast it out, John. What's your question?
Do they have any information on exposing the PNAC?
I see. This is about PNAC, Cindy. He wants to know if you have had any information or success in exposing the Project for a New American Century.
Why do you have to expose it? It's right on their website. You just have to go to projectforanewamericancentury.org or .com or .whatever it is and read it. I mean, it's just right there. Why do we have to expose it? It's just right there to read. You know, anybody in America can go to that website and read it.
Well, and John, I would point out the other night on the PBS NewsHour, they were talking about the saber-rattling toward Iran, and they trotted out Richard Perle for comment, and they failed to identify him in any way as related to PNAC, as a former member of the Defense Policy Board, as a crony of Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney. It was quite remarkable that they sanitized his bio for consumption on public television.
I was just wondering about I know what it is myself, and I've seen the website,
mm-hmm.
but the general public don't even seem to know what the NAC is.
Well, I would agree. The mainstream media has barely referenced it, but if you go to the web or you listen to shows like this, you probably hear more than you'd like to about it. John, thanks for joining us. Next up, Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air with Peter B., Brad, and Cindy Sheehan.
Yes, Cindy Sheehan, this is one American, along with the other 80% of us that are behind you and against the person in the White House. I support my grateful country. I say thank you for your courage and being a true American mother. And Casey would be proud of you.
Thank you.
I will be brief. I hope Brad and all you guys are on top of this telephone thing where they have the secret computers at the secret switching stations in their secret rooms. All this damn secrecy. Where in the hell is the right to our privacy? And who's fighting for to keep all? Now they're scanning everybody's telephones. And I know it's a little off subject, but I hope you guys are on top of this because we're going to fight for our freedoms, but we're already on the border.
Okay, and Ben, join us on Monday because in the first hour we have the author of a new book that is called Blackout, which is focused exclusively on the secrecy of the Bush administration.
Yes, sir.
So I think you'll find that interesting.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And let me do a head count here. Brad, you still there?
I am.
I think we lost Cindy there in the mix. So I think we'll wrap it up there and appreciate her checking in with us this afternoon. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return with more from Brad Friedman at bradblog.com. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now on the Central Coast. A local call at 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, you can call us toll-free, yes, even from Florida, at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We continue our weekly visit with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And it's always inspiring to talk to Cindy Sheehan. She has a new book out called Cindy Sheehan, Not One More Mother's Child. And there's one introduction by our friend Tom Hartman and another, a personal introduction written by Jody Evans. And, Brad, I just want to read one paragraph here. In the first few days of the vigil last summer, many people called with advice. And Cindy was appalled by the manipulations that were suggested. More flags, more patriotism. Don't say this, say that. Cindy doesn't have a politician's bone in her body. She has her own voice, and she was insulted by those who wanted to change her words and those who thought others were putting words into her mouth. Her responses were lightning fast, deeply intimate, and full of humor. And I think that kind of captures her. She is, in my view, not somebody who is so conscious. She simply is being here now, and expressing herself and trying to work through the loss of her son.
That's true. And along the way, you know, I think she's made what some folks have called missteps at various times. But it really sort of underscores that there's nobody controlling her, as they liked to say last summer. And, you know, I was out there in Crawford, and I remember Rush Limbaugh was referring to it as, you know, the organized left was controlling this Camp Casey business. And I can tell you, I was there. There was nothing organized about it. and by the way, this gives me also an opportunity. I want to point again to LoneStarIcon.com, since you mentioned the book. Mm-hmm. They did great reporting on the ground there last summer. And, you know, they're a small weekly newspaper. And on a dime, they suddenly became, you know, the main source for news that was going on in Crawford, Texas, hourly, you know, hour by hour, day by day. And they've now taken that hour by hour, day by day reporting and have turned it into a book called Vigil, 26 Days in Crawford. and I have been recently perusing it, and can't recommend it enough to really give you a flavor of what was going on there in Texas last summer, and that firsthand history, which is just so interesting and so valuable, and it took me right back there, and I can't recommend the book enough. And not just because I'm in it every now and again.
And Brad, you know, one of the things you referred to is the way Rush and other media outlets have tried to smear Cindy Sheehan and the anti-war movement by suggesting that you and I must agree with every viewpoint that Cindy Sheehan holds in order to support her effort to talk to the President of the United States about the misguided war and the loss of her son. And, you know, Cindy Sheehan doesn't have to agree with me about Middle East policies, about Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. And while I agree that some of the things she's done have been portrayed in unflattering ways, I fully support her right to express herself on any issue she wants to talk about.
Well, exactly. And it seems to me she has... frankly, I was going to say that she's earned that right, making the ultimate sacrifice of her son. But frankly, we've all earned that right. We are all Americans, and we are all, you know, entitled to a free speech. And what's interesting throughout this entire process is that last summer you had, you know, guys like Rush Limbaugh out and out lying about what was going on there. Then you move it ahead a beat to the beginning of the year when there was massive protests in Washington, D.C. that Cindy Sheehan was at as they moved Camp Casey to D.C. for a while. Huge, anywhere from 100,000 to 300,000 people, hardly covered at all in the media, by the mainstream media. And then move it forward a little bit further to the State of the Union. She gets arrested inappropriately. The Capitol Police end up apologizing for that. But the mainstream media picked up on that and completely got the story wrong. So, you know, where do you go to get the story right these days? And that's actually one of the reasons why I recommend the book by the Iconoclast, because it gives you what was going on right then and there at that time, not through the, you know, the corporate media filter, not through the historical rewriting that we see. But, it's damn troubling that it is almost impossible to get the real story on so much of what is going on, and in particular, if you're going to count on the corporate media, from Rush Limbaugh to the Associated Press.
Mm-hmm. And, Brad, I just want to tell you how great you are, because you asked the question just before I was ready to ask her if she was thinking of going to one of these newly opened up venues where the president is taking questions from even people who criticize him. Great question, dude.
Well, thank you.
Chris from Salinas, join us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and Brad's here, too.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
I was wondering if anybody has looked into whether or not Bruce McPherson has stock in Diebold or any other electronic voting company.
I don't know. Brad, have you?
No, I haven't actually looked into it. That would be interesting. I'm trying to, I've got so much in my brain, it does seem to ring some bell, not about Diebold specifically, but about another voting company, but I'll have to look into that and get back to you.
One other question is, did you notice any, or did anybody notice any irregularities or people being thrown off the rolls in the Francine Busby
That's District 50, the Duke Cunningham seat.
Right.
Brad,
yeah,
any anomalies there?
Yeah, actually, I can give you a couple. Well, as far as people being thrown off the rolls, that 26% number mentioned previously, that was statewide. So presumably 26% of the folks who may have registered since January to vote in this special election on Tuesday found themselves not on the list. That said, I spoke with Judy Alter yesterday, who was running parallel elections at one of the precincts, and that is essentially when folks leave the elections, leave the polling place, they ask them to fill out the ballot again and swear to the truth that they're basically filling out the ballot the same way that they did inside. And what she said is that, in fact, there was one candidate, and I forget which name it was because we only spoke briefly, that in fact the parallel elections found that there were more voters for this one candidate than were actually registered at that precinct.
And I take it it was one of the Republicans. There were 18 Republicans, and Francine Busby was, I think, one of two Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. She got like 45% of the vote, and the rest were Republicans split up between them, and I guess there'll be a runoff coming up shortly.
Yeah, and we had an interesting discussion with a guy named Jay Cost, C-O-S-T, from RealClearPolitics.com the other day. And he had been watching the District 50 special very closely. And the premise was that if Francine Busby had been able to win outright in the special election, the 50% plus one required to avoid a runoff in June, that it would have been a barometer for Democratic chances of taking back the House in November. Because of the kind of perfect storm there, the corruption of Cunningham, the low poll numbers of the president in California presently, and the kind of attention that Busby was able to get. She did increase her margin about 8 points. She had run against Cunningham, the incumbent, 2 years ago, but she didn't overcome that 50% plus one marker. And the speculation is that given the registration, which is 44% Republican, 30% Democrat in District 50, it'll be very difficult for her to defeat Brian Bilbray, who is an experienced Republican congressman from Southern California, in the June 6th runoff, which, of course, will be part of the primary for the next round for that seat. Because of the way Cunningham left the term or left office in the middle of a term, the what Busby ran for is simply the honor to run again in November.
Right.
And so it takes a lot of money, and the Republicans threw a lot of money at this race. So I don't want to discourage anybody in that area from supporting her, but it was overall a little disappointing that she didn't win it outright on Tuesday.
Well, I'm not sure because, as you said, that was a very contested race amongst a lot of Republicans. I'm not sure if we can read that from what you say. And by the way, I would add, I know a lot of folks have pointed to Real Clear Politics as sort of a neutral arbiter of what's going on. I find them to lean hard to the right, frankly.
I get that impression as well, but I didn't feel he was pulling partisan punches. I could be wrong about that.
Well, no, I mean, I think that I would agree with him. Had she won outright, it would have been a tsunami of
right.
panic.
And, Brad, we're out of time. Yeah. Coming up Monday, Nate Persily, an expert on redistricting, will join us at in our second hour. Brad, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great holiday, my friend.
Happy Easter to everybody.
Until